Today's daf is Chulin daf Ayin Vav, and we are 17 lines from the top of daf Ayin Hey Omid Beis, the two dots, Reb Shimon Shezuri Omer. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Chava Miriam Basmalka Freida and Shloima Ben Chayale. So we're moving along in Perek Behema HaMekasha, dealing with the halachos of the Ben Pekua. The halacha that states, the chiddush nifla that states that in the event that somebody shechts a behema mu'uberes, loy mibaya, the shechita works for the mother, but even the uber becomes mutter v'achil. Stating that, we saw the Mishnah on daf ayin dalid, which we mentioned really could have been the very first mission of the Perek, lays out the basic foundation of when we do and don't apply the laws of the Ben Pekur. And what we saw is it's Machloikis Rameir and the Chacham. According to Rameir, in the event that the Uber was not a full-term Uber, so for example, it was Loikaloi Chadoshov, it was in the 8th month of pregnancy, then the halach is whether it was found to be alive after the Shechita or it was found to be dead after the Shechita, the halach is it's going to be Mutter. Rameir continues and says, in the event it was Kaloi Chadoshov, it was full-term, in the event that it was found dead, it's also going to be Mutter. If, however, it was Kaloi Chadoshov and it was alive, so then the halach is the shechita is not going to be mat. Chachamim argue, the Chachamim say, even if it survived, even if it was full term and alive, still the shechita of the aim is going to be matter. The Mishnah continued, and the Mishnah said, Rav Shimon Shezuri Omer, Rav Shimon Shezuri added on the shechita of Chachamim. He said that in the event that there was an uber that was kololoi chadashav and it was nimtzo chai, and it lived even 5 years, and it's akkering in the field, even then the halach is the shechit of the mother is going to be metired. Now, at first glance, from Shimon Shezuri is the chachamim. It's the Tanakama, albeit a much more dramatic version of it. And you have to know, is Rav Shimon Shezuri just coming to add the theatrics? He just wants to visualize, wow, it could be 5 years old, and being chayrish basad and so it's going to be mutter, or is there really some machlikas lahalacha between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Shezuri that is going to make up the very first part of today's daf? Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Shezuri Yomer, afilu v'chulu. Faith the Gemara, hayru Tanakama. Isn't Rav Shimon Shezuri really the Tanakama? Meaning, side the Tanakama, side Rav Shimon Shezuri are of the opinion that if it was kolei chadashav and it made it out alive, the halacha is that it's going to be okay. Rav Kana said, hifris lagabi kark ikbenayim. No. There actually is a nafkamina. In fact, it's a huge nafkamina. According to the Tanakama, in the event that this Uber was born and was hifris al-gabi karka, meaning it walked the proverbial dalet amos, it stuck its hooves into the ground, then the halach is it's actually not going to be mutter ba'achil. Meaning, in as much as the Tanakama holds that even if it's full term, kololoi chadashav nimtzo chai, it's going to be mutter, but that's only if it doesn't walk a mile. If, however, it's hifris al gabe karka, so then already it's going to be a problem. And the reason is not midday raisa, it's midday rabbana, because once it's hifris al gabe karka, this looks like a geheriga animal. And how is the innocent bystander supposed to know that this animal's a ben pakua? What? He sees his birth certificate? He has no way of knowing this. And if you're going to go ahead and you're going to eat this animal without shechita, the Tanakam is concerned that maybe people will somehow mistakenly think you're violating the laws of Shechita of Eva Menachai. It's for that reason the Tanakama said that even though fundamentally I hold it should be okay, not like Rameyer, but at the same time, once it's Hifras Agabi Karka, it's going to be a problem. And on that, Reb Shimon Shezuri came. And Reb Shimon Shezuri said, I'm not worried about that. And you know how not worried about that I am? I don't even care if it's 5 years old and it's being Chirish Basada. Even in that kind of situation, the halacha is, it's going to be mutter, because in the world of Rav Shimon Shezuri, it is always going to be mutter. Says the Gemara, the topic of the Ben Pekua, and this next Gemara should sound familiar. Amar Mesharshia, Rav Sharshia said, L'divri yoy mechayshin lezerav. According to Mother Holds, when it comes to behemoth, we look at the yichas, not only mitzad o'em, also mitzad ab, which we know is a huge topic in the sugyas and Masechta Schulin. Ben Pekua bo al behemoth al yisra havlat in leitakon. In the event that a Ben Pekua has a baby together with the behemah mal yisa, so a ben pekua was Nizdavik with the Behema Mal Yisrael, and they had a child, that child is Ein Loi Takana. And the reason is because this child is really a mixed breed. It has Yichos Mitzado Av Ben Pekua, Yichos Mitzado Eim, a Behema Mal Yisrael. Mitzad the Yichos of the Eim, let's go backwards, it's a regular Behema, requires Shechita if you're going to want to eat from it. Mitzad the Yichos of the father, it doesn't require shechita. In fact, the shechita is nit kein shechita. Comes out, this is literally as abein hashmoshes. It's a mixed breed. In loy takana, what are you going to do? You need to shechita, but you can't shechita. Well, that's a problem. As a result, there is no way for you to be able to eat from this animal. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, returning to the machloikis between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon Shazuri. How come wait, everybody agrees? Bekolut ben pekua. In the event that there was a ben pekua that was born, and that Ben Pekua was a kalut. What does that mean? It means it had closed hooves. They weren't split. Dalach is shemutter. It's going to be mutter to eat, even if it was hifris al gabe kark. Meaning, we know from, again, learning sugis already in Perek, Behema and Makasha, that there's a big machloik is tanon, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. In the event of Behema, that's kosher, gives birth to another behemoth that doesn't have the simonim of a kosher animal. So, for example, it's not mafres, it's parsa. According to the Chachamim, it's kosher. According to Reb Shimon, it's a problem. But even Reb Shimon's mind, that in the event that it's a ben pekua, in the event that it has yichus, al gabe yichus, number one, it was a kolot, number two, it was a ben pekua, then it's going to be mutter because it's nisrabah from the posik that is marba, the ikur halacha of the Ben Pekua. Said Abaya, I'll tell you a chiddush, that even though the Tanakam were chaylik Reb Shimon Shazuri, and they held that midr abunon, you have to be concerned that Ben Pekua, that was hifris al gabe karka, is going to be a problem. But if it was a kolut Ben Pekua, then already it's going to be okay. My time, it almost makes no sense. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. It's a very balabatish asfara. Kol milsa de tmiya mitkat chiri lo inchi. What are you worried about when it's hifris al gabe karka? People are going to say, what's up? This person just took a bite out of an animal. He put a bullet between its eyes and he ate it. What happened to Masechtas Chulin? What happened to the basic laws of Shechita? Now, what's the teretz? It's a Ben Pekua. But who knows it's a Ben Pekua? Well, if this is a very interesting animal, there's something like very eccentric about it, it's a kolot, then already people will chap because of the kolot. Right? Once upon a time, people were on first name basis with their animals. This was the way people lived. And as a result, oh, him. Yeah, he's like that strange animal. You cross the street when you see him coming towards you. He's a kolot ben pekua. But the bottom line is, ironically, when you're a kolot ben pekua, says Abaye in that situation, and everyone chaps into ben pekua, you don't have to be worried about anything, and therefore it's going to be okay. Ikedam risamsi, I'm Abaye. Abaye said, hakol moedim, everybody agrees, bekolot ben kaluta ben pekua. Now we're really talking that in the event that you had a kolot who's the son of a kluta and it's a ben pekua, in that kind of situation, shamutter, it's going to be mutter. My time, what's the reason? Trait me mitchat chiri enchi. When it's a kolot and it's the son of a kluta, which was a ben pekua. So now already you have a whole, history of all these intricacies in that kind of situation where there's two things that are funny. It's a kolot ben kluta, which had been a ben pekua as well. In that kind of situation, it's going to be okay. So what are the two lashonis? Where the one milsa de tmiya is enough to remove this maris ayin issue, or you would need two milsa de tmiyas. You would need two wondrous things in order for this to be okay. As it relates to the machlokes tanakam Reb Shimon Shazuri, you want to know who we paskin like Reb Shimon Shazuri. V'chein hoy Reb Shimon Shazuri mater bivnoi uben benoi atsoif kol hadoyres. And then he doubled down. Did Ziri in the name Reb Chanino. He said that not only was Reb Shimon Shazuri mate the Ben Pekua itself, but the Ben Pekua's child and its grandchild, Atsoif Kol HaDoyres, they were all included in this halach. Meaning, not only the Ben Pekua is mutter if it's 5 years old and it's being chayrish, but Kol Yoytze Chalotzav is going to be true as well. Now, that's pashut. That's only true in the event that the Ben Pekua made it with a Bas Pekua. Because if this Ben Pekua has descendants, but it came through a marriage to a Behema Regila, well, then you have Rav Sharshi's halacha that we just saw earlier in the staff and we saw earlier in the barrack. Then the Vlad is Ein Loi Takana. So obviously, it's only Negeya where the Ben Pekua made it with a Bas Pekua. So there, the child is going to be Yesh Loi Takana because it has the same Yichos Mitzada Av and Mitzada Eim. But the bottom line is that in terms of Rav Shimon Shezuri and the Tanakama, in terms of this chashash, even if it goes doire doires, the halacha is, it's still going to be okay. Now, there's a little bit of a chiddush over here. There is a little bit of a chiddush over here because you could have thought that the only time Rav Shimon Shezuri is matter is the actual Ben Pekuah. The actual Ben Pekuah is different. And by the way, you see, Abaye said that even the Tanakama amoyed to Rav Shimon Shezuri when there's a milsa de tamiya. For example, it's a kolot or kolot ben kluta. In that situation, it's going to be mutter. Why? Because people chab. This is different. Rav Shimon Shezuri holds every ben pekua. People remember and they chab. It's very unique to have a ben pekua, perhaps. And as a result, people would know it. But if you're already holding eight generations, so in that situation, you know, I don't know if you're still going to have that same level of maybe Milsa de Tamiya, where Rav Shimon Shezuri should be matter, and that's really the chiddush, that it's not only mutter in terms of the Ben Pekuah itself, but even the Bnai, Uben Bnai, Atzoiv Kol Adoris. Rabbi Yochanan, I'm stating that Rabbi Yochanan was chaylich. He said, who mutter, Ubenai, but as it relates to the Vlad, Aser, it's going to be Aser. Adabar Chavu, Havali Ben Pekuah, the Nafal Duba Alei. Adabar Chavu had a Ben Pekuah where a Duba fell on it. Now, without looking at Rashi, what's a duba? A bear, right? I mean, that's what it sounds like. A doiv bet, right? That's what it sounds like. Rashi says it's a wolf. Taisus also says it's a wolf. But either way, there was a wolf that landed on top of this Ben Pekuah. Also, the Kamid Ravashi, he brought it to Ravashi. What happened was, at this point, it wasn't a trefa yet, but it looked like it was dying. And he comes to Ravashi and he says, you know, I have this Ben Pekuah. You know, what's the halacha? Amalei zil shachte. He said, go ahead and shachte it. Why? Because if you're not going to shecht it, it's going to end up dying. You won't be able to eat it. If you shecht it, it's going to be mutter. So this is what Rav Ashi tells Adabar Chavu. Amalei, Adabar Chavu told Rav Ashi, Amazeiri, Amrab Chanina, Halacha Rav Shimon Shezuri, V'chein Rav Shimon Shezuri Mate Bevnoi, Uben Benoi, Ad Soif Kol Adoiros. V'afilu Rabbi Yochanan, even Rabbi Yochanan was chaylik like Kamer Ela Benoi, Aval Iu Loi. So what are you worried about? Don't we paskin like Rav Shimon Shezuri? So if we paskin like Rav Shimon Shezuri, it should be okay. And even Rabbi Yochanan, who said what he said, but he just said as relates to the event, this is the actual Ben Pekuah. So if it's the actual Ben Pekuah, why are you telling me Zil Shachte? What's the rush over here? And if I don't shachte and it dies, I know ordinarily an animal that you don't shachte that dies is an avela. At that point, lager hashev b'sharecha. But this was a Ben Pekuah, it should be fine. Amalei, Rav Ashi responded to Ad, and he told him, Rabbi Yochanan, divi Rav Shimon Shezuri kamer. Don't shtaltzu Rabbi Yochanan. Because what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said that the animal itself is mutter, and that Benoi is going to be an issue, he meant it in the world of Rav Shimon Shezuri. As if to say, but I don't hold like Rav Shimon Shezuri. But the Gemara says, Amar Ravin bar Chanin Amar Ula Amar Rav Chanina. This is all other talking. He said halach Rav Shimon Shezuri. But isn't the halach like Rav Shimon Shezuri? And that's what Ada said l'chatchila, right? It's a little hard to read the Gemara. Amale, right? Ada bar Chavu tells Rav Ashi. He's talking to the Gadol Adar. He says, why do I have to shecht it? Ze'iri said in the name of Rav Chanina, the halach is like Rav Shimon Shezuri. And he said, and even though I know there's a Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan is not going to apply over here. And Rav Ashi only responds to the second thing that Ada said. He said, Rabbi Yochanan was l'divir Rav Shimon Shezuri. So don't even talk about Rabbi Yochanan over here, because I made Rabbi Shimon Shezuri. Say that Ada knew that. That's why Ada prefaced what he said when he brought Rabbi Yochanan into the picture by saying that the halach is like Rabbi Shimon Shezuri, which is really Ada's next taina. But it's almost like Rav Ashi didn't understand Ada's taina with the karyla makarila. It's just in Pasha Pshah and the Gemara. But either way, so Ada tainted really what he already said, that the halach is like Rabbi Shimon Shezuri. And he said, by the way, v'layoyt elokom makim shetana Rabbi Shimon Shezuri bim mishaseh halacha gemara. He said, we always pass on Rabbi Shimon Shezuri. Amalez, Rav Ashi told him, anoki hosfirali, that I hear that you think the halach is like Rabbi Shimon Shezuri. That's your Messiah. And you have this cloud, v'layoyt elokom makim shetana Rabbi Shimon Shezuri halacha gemara. I have a different Messiah. I hear. Ada, it's very nice your Messiah. It's Rav Ashi talking. I'll tell you my Messiah. The Amar Rabbi Yonason, Halachic Rabbi Shimon Shezuri, Ben Mesukin, U Betrumas Meister Sheldomai. We pass Rabbi Shimon Shezuri, not always, not in this sugi over here. There's two places that we passkin like him. One is Ben Mesukin, and the other one is Betrumas Meister Sheldomai. And that's why I said Zul Shachte, because I know that according to Rabbi Shimon Shezuri, it's going to be okay. We don't passkin like him. And that Rabbi Yochanan was all in Rabbi Shimon Shezuri. But the reason I said Zul Shachte, because as it relates to the Halachic Rabbi Shimon Shezuri, less Hilchas Akavose. isn't there this klal kamakim shashana? It's two places. Mesukin shumas ma'isa shodamai. Says the Gemara, what are these two things? Mesukin detanan. It's a mishnah mesachtes gittin. Barishoy, you know how Yoimin they used to say, Yoitzeb a koiler, if somebody's on death row, Amen, he said, kisfuget l'ishti. And while he was about to be killed, he said, divorce my wife. Or, actually, I shouldn't say that. He said, kiss for get lishti. He didn't say divorce his wife. But he didn't say actually give the get. Harelu yichtevu v'yitnu. So the edim that were told to write the get have a right to write it and to give it as well. That's a chiddush. Because ordinarily, if somebody goes to a sofer, he says, write a get, doesn't mean this guy can go and deliver it to his wife. He's a shliach to write it. He's not a shliach to deliver it. But over here, we assume if the man's on death row and he's saying, write a get, it's not because, you know, maybe in a year from now. Doesn't sound like this is going to be a year from now. So obviously, if he said write the get, he meant to give it. Why didn't he say give it? Probably because he was in a state of sakana, he's in this very mavulvuldig state, so he wasn't thinking clearly. But kisfu get l'ishti is the equivalent thereof to give a get to my wife. Now, by the way, why would a person in the final moments of his life divorce his wife, right? He's always wanted to do this. Now he's leaving the world. We're going to part on bad terms. Like, seriously, you made it out. You toughed it out. Now this is the way you want it to all end. So the teretz is because once upon a time, Yibum was a very, very big issue. And, you know, communication was an issue. I mean, when we learned Masechtas Yevamos, we spoke about some of the Yevamos issues that took place in the 19th century, you know, where you had a husband and a wife, where the man died without children living in Europe, and there's a brother that's living in Portland, Maine, or in some obscure place, if you know, you know, in the United States of America. But the bottom line is, this was always a major issue, so it could be to prevent a yibum from taking place. That's why we would have done it. But the bottom line is, that's a Mishnah. We all know this Mishnah. Hayoytze b'koiler, and he says, kisfu get l'ishti, harelu yichtavu vit yitnuch. Ozru, I mean, the chum double band, this is all part of the Mishnah. And they said, afa mefarish, vayoytzen b'shiyarit. This is true even for someone that goes on a business trip. He's going on a boat, or he's going to be traveling in the midbar. If he says kisfu get l'ishti and he didn't say tenu, he probably meant tenu. He was just, he had nervin because of the fact that he was about to take some dangerous trip. Reb Shimon says, Uriyomer, he added to that, he said, afa mesukin, even someone that's a chayla mesukin, someone that's very, very sick. If he says kisfu get l'ishti, we assume he meant to say tenu as well. Bottom line is, said Rav Ashi, that's one of the two times that we pass on Reb Shimon Shazuri. What's the other case? Chumas meiser. Sheldomai. So we know what Trumas Meiser is. Trumas Meiser is the Levi who gets Meiserishin has to be Mafresh Meiser and a Meiser. He has to be Mafresh Trumas Meiser, and that Trumas Meiser has a din of Truma. It has to be given to the Kohen. It's also to be eaten by Azar. If Azar eats it, it's going to be Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemai. We're dealing with Trumas Meiser of Demai. What's Demai? If somebody buys Peiros, he buys Tvuf and Amma Aretz, Midurabon, and you have to be Mafresh Trumas and Meisers. Because even though Roiv Amma Aretz were Maser, there were a percentage of Ami Aretz that were not. And Chazal were always worried that maybe you bought from the Mir. But they raised it, they could have been Simon Chanroiv, they chose not to. And therefore they instituted this idea of being Mafres, Chumas, and Maestres from the Peiros of an Ami Aretz. If you buy Peiros of Ami Aretz, it's known as Demai. Your obligation to tithe it is not biblical in nature, it's rabbinic. The bottom line is, what happens if somebody had Trumas Maisa that came from Demai? Okay, so what's this mission? The Tanan, Trumas Maisa Shal Demai, Shechazulim Kaimo, it was Nesarif together with a whole bunch of Peiros, and now you're about to lose all your Peiros, because the sheer bittel of Truma is Bemeya, it's like a big number. So you're about to lose all your Peiros because Trumas Maisa was Nesarif. So that Loch is, says Rav Shimon Shazuri, Af Bechol Shoyaloi, even during the week, if you want, you can go to the Amaretz and you can ask him. Go back to that Amaretz. Were you Mafresh Meiser and Trumas Meiser, were you not? If he tells you he was, you have a right to trust him. You'll be able to eat it. Why? Because it's a shod. All this taruvis that you're going to end up losing. What's this lashon af b'chol shayaloi? Because the chachamim hold that only on Shabbos you could ask him. Because we know an Amma Aretz doesn't lie on Shabbos, ki yadu, in the sfunim akdoishim. But when it comes to chol, we don't trust him. Rav Shimon Shazuri says that in the event that there's a hefsid moment, there's some chesaron kiss, because of this taruvis, then af b'chol, even during the week, you'd be able to trust him. The bottom line is, this is another chiddush, a kula of Rav Shimon Shazuri, and this is the other time, said Rav Ashi, that halachik Rav Shimon Shazuri. But as it relates to our sugya, ein halacha kemoisoi. So the bottom line is, we have now a better understanding of the latter part of the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah discussed what seemed like two shittas, but also like three shittas. What would be if somebody shechts a behemah and he found a full term uber, and it was alive. Is it going to be mutter? Is it not going to be mutter? Rav Meir says, full stop, it's going to be Yasa. The Tanakhama says it's mutter. Rav Shimon Shizuri says, even if it's 5 years old, it's being Chayush Pasada, still it's going to be mutter. We understand Shitas Rav Meir. The Chacham Rav Shimon Shizuri, I mean, we understand it, but they sound like they're saying the same thing, so I guess we don't understand it until we know what the difference is. And that was the first kasha of the Gemara in today's daf. Rav Shimon Shizuri, Hainu Tanakhama. The Gemara said, the chiluk is, what would be if it was found alive and it was hifris al gavi karka? According to the Tanakhama, believe it or not, that would not be okay midrabanan because it looks like this is a regular animal. Shimon Shizuri says, I'm not worried about that, it's going to be okay. What we saw was a few shmuzen. Number one, Abaye said that in as much as according to the Tanakhama, once it's hifris al gavi karka, it's going to be a problem. But if there's a milsa de tmiya, or according to one lishna, two milsi de tmiyas, in that situation it's going to be okay. So for example, if it's a kalut or a kalup and kluta, being that in that situation, everybody realizes something's different over here, so then you don't have to be worried, even if it's Tifus HaGabi Karka, according to the Tanakhama, it's going to be okay. The second discussion we had was, who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like the Tanakhama? Do we paskin like Rav Shimon Shizuri? There is a klal, kol makim shashana Rav Shimon Shizuri halacha kemoisai, and based on that, Ada Bar Chavu, where the Maisa Shoya Kachoya, where he brought his animal that was attacked by a duba, which Rashi and Tosfos both say, in this case, was a wolf. But the bottom line is, he thought that, oh, if the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shizuri, so for sure, that should be the baseline in terms of how you approach a shayla like this. Rav Ashi told him, incorrect. We don't paskin like Rav Shimon Shizuri. I this mesoira of halacha Rav Shimon Shizuri, anoki hosvirli. I have a different nusach in it. The Amar Rav Yonis and halacha Rav Shimon Shizuri ben mesukin, ubechumis maisa shaldamai, my mesukin, my chumis maisa shaldamai. That was the last part of the daf. And with that, we turn our attention to daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, which is another mishnah, which is also very ironically return to the sugyas of Perek Eilu Treifas. So for the next 2 days, we're going to be going tzedek tzeveiks. We're literally going backwards. And we're going to return to the world of Eilu Treifas, to the world of diagrams and pictures, to the world of, we're not farmers, to the world of, we'll do what we do. We'll try our best to be mamchish this a little bit. So just a tiny bit of a background. The Mishnah now is going to discuss the anatomy of the animal, specifically the hind legs of the animal. So we're talking about the feet of the animal, but when you talk about the feet of the animal, right, an animal only has feet. So when you talk about the feet of an animal, you mean the hind legs as opposed to the forelegs. The background that we need, Rashi gives. So obviously the pictures are always helpful, but in terms of the basic background, Rashi gives us the basic background. And that is, the foot of the animal is made up of three bones. If you take a look at the end of Rashi on the Mishnah, Shloisha Atzamos, there are three bones, b'yerech, on the thigh, on the foot of the animal. So there's a lower part, level one, then there's the middle part, level two, and then there's the upper part, that's level three. In between parts one and two, and parts two and three, there are what's known as arkuvos. Arkuvos are joints. So just think three atzamos, and these three atzamos are separated by two arkuvos. In terms of the names, if it is helpful, so the lowest part Rashi refers to as the Arkuva Tachtoina, which if you go through Gemura Rashi properly is a little bit tricky because the Arkuva is really the joint, what separates the bones, but Rashi seems to refer to that whole bottom bone as the Arkuva Tachtoina. We'll just refer to it as the bottom bone or level one. The middle area is what's known as the Shoik, and the top area is what's known as the Kulis, or also known as the Yarech. In English, the lowest bone is known as the metatarsus, the middle bone is known as the tibia, and the top bone is known as the femur. So these are the three bones that are separated by arkuvos, the arkuva tachtoin and the arkuva elyoin, respectively, in Lushan HaKodesh, and in English, it's the tarsus and the patella, respectively, again, if that's helpful. But the bottom line is that in terms of the anatomy of the animal, that's pretty much the way it's set up. Now, on the bottom, all the way on the bottom, the actual foot of the animal, underneath that lowest bone, that's where the hooves are Right? That's what the parasoy is. That's not part of this conversation. Above the yarech, above the kulas, that's already the aliyah, that's all parts. Again, that's not related to this discussion. What we need is the three bones and the two arkuvos that separate them. One other thing that we need just for the mitzias, and that is the infamous soimus agidin. I'm going to play a very big role in today's daf. As a matter of fact, the majority of the rest of the daf is going to discuss the soimus agidin. The soimus agidin, as we know, is an area where there's a bunch of sinews, a bunch of gidin, where they come together and they converge. The Tzemes Agidin was considered a very sensitive part of the animal, and if something happened to the animal by the Tzemes Agidin, it's considered fatal. In the world of Treifus, that's considered a very big deal. Where are the Tzemes Agidin? So that's actually the Gemara's Kasha, and the Gemara's going to get into a very technical discussion about it. It goes quickly because it's technical, so if you don't understand it, obviously by definition it goes fast, but in terms of just general location of the Tzemes Agidin, just to get a sense of generally where they are, so they're right on top of the Arkuva Tachtoina. So again, lowest bone, Arkuva Tachtoina, middle bone, Arkuva Alyoina, and then the top bone. So if it's right on top of the Arkuva Tachtoina, that means it's in that middle bone. It's in that middle area, immediately above the lower joint, that's where the Tzemes Agidin are playing themselves out. How high and how low, that's all discussion in the Gemara, a bunch of shitas in the Amiram. But the bottom line is, from a general perspective, that's where it is. On that note, talk to Hilga Mishnah. Behemish Nechtachu Ragleo. A behema whose feet were severed. Again, what does feet mean? The hind legs. How do I know that? The first Rashi, Ragleo Achroinim. So in the event that the hind legs was somewhat severed, Min Arkuva Lamat, if it happened underneath Arkuva, which Arkuva? Is this Arkuva Tachtoina, Arkuva Alyoina? Kasha, it's the Gemara's Kasha. Ksher, it's going to be Kasha. Arkuva Lamayla, if it happened above the Arkuva, so it's going to be possible. Chinch, Nittel, Tzemes Agidin. Additionally, if the Tzemes Agidin were removed, it's also going to be a Treifa. Nishbara Etzem, in the event the foot of the animal broke, meaning the bone, Imroiv HaBasar Kayim, if most of the basar that surrounds the Etzem was Kayim, a more detailed definition of Roiv HaBasar in tomorrow's daf, but in Roiv HaBasar Kayim, Shchitasai Metaharasai. Then the Shchita is Metairet, meaning it's a good Shchita. And if not, in Shchitasai Metaharasai, the Shchita is not a good Shchita. What does that mean? It's because in the event that it was Nishbara Etzem and Roiv HaBasar, it's the Iver HaMedoldo that we spoke about in the last few dafin, and in that situation, the Shchita isn't even going to work, says the Gemara. So the first halach of the Mishnah was, Behema Shenechtechu Ragla, Min HaArkuva Ulamata Ksheira, Min HaArkuva Ulamayla, Psula. V'chein Shenitel Tzoymes Akina. That's the part of the Mishnah that we need for the rest of today's daf. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Amar Rav Chiya, right? So usually Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chiya. Rav Yehuda is a Talmud of Rav. Rav is a Talmud of his great uncle Mitzad Ha'av and Mitzad Ha'Ein. Rav Chiya. Limata. When the Mishnah said Limata, Min Arkuva Limata is going to be Ksheira Limata Min Arkuva. What it means is immediately beneath the Arkuva. Lemaila, when it says Lemaila, means Lemaila on Arkuva. It means immediately above the Arkuva. Ube is Arkuva Amu, that's the $1 million question. And which Arkuva are we referring to? Bar Arkuva Hanim Keres in Arush. It's the Arkuva that was sold together with the Rush. So again, you had to be there. But apparently, if somebody bought the head of an animal, he would also get the lower part of the animal, up until that the lowest joint. That's the area that's known as the Arkuva Hanim Keres in Arush. Why was it called Arkuva Hanim Keres in Arush? Because it was Hanim Keres in Arush. And the point is that the Arkuva that we're referring to. So anything beneath that Arkuva Tachtoina is going to be no issues. Anything above it is already going to be a problem. Ula Amar Rab Oishia. Ula send the name Rab Oishia. Kinegdoi Begamal Nikar. No, it's referring to the Arkuva that looks very different, very distinguished in a camel. Which Arkuva is very distinguished in a camel? It's the Arkuva El Yoina, and that's the Arkuva that we're referring to. So anything beneath the Arkuva El Yoina is going to be kosher. Anything above the Arkuva El Yoina is going to be a problem. So let's just be manchish this. According to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chiya, if it's beneath the lowest Arkuva, meaning it's on the lowest, the metatarsus, that lowest section of the animal, in that situation, it's going to be kosher. If it's above that, anything that's above that, meaning it's already in section 2, which is the tibia, kavachim is section 3, which is the femur, then for sure at that point it's going to be possible. According to Ula, the name Rabbi Ishia, no. If it's in the lowest section, even if it's in the second section, it's still going to be kosher. It's tafka. It's in the third section. That's when you have a trefa. That's when you're going to have a problem. Amalei Ula Rav Yehuda. So Ula turns Rav Yehuda. He asks him a bomb kasha. He said, Bishlami Lididi, Damina connected the Gamal Nikah. Bishlami, according to me, that I hold. What's the Akuv of the Mishnah? It's referring to the Akuv El Yoyin, the one that's connected the Gamal Nikah. Hainu Diktani Bechinshin Tol Tzaymes Agidin. So I understand why the Mishnah had us give a shout out to the Tzaymes Agidin. Because where is the Tzaymes Agidin? We said it's in the middle section. And the middle section really is kosher. So based on the rule of the Mishnah, you would have thought that Tzaymes Agidin, then if something happens, should be okay. Kamash malon, that if it was nechtach, it's a problem. But if the tzomis agidin got all tzomish, then already you're going to have yourself an issue. There's a chiluk between the tzomis agidin and the rest of that area. Elo the didach, but according to you, my v'chein shenitol tzomis agidin, you already told me that anything that happens, min arkuva l'mayla is going to be a problem. And what's the definition of arkuva? It's the arkuva tachtoina. And where's the tzomis agidin l'mayla my arkuva tachtoina? So if that's the case, so why do you have to tell me v'chein shenitol tzomis agidin? It's already nichlal in the first halach of the Mishnah. According to me, it's not included. Fakir, it's an exception to the rule. That's why you need to give it a shout out. But according to you, it's part of the rule. So why are you mentioning the Tzemes Agidin? Amalei Rav Yehuda told Ula, Rechuva b'lei Tzemes Agidin, Tzemes Agidin b'lei Rechuva. It's two separate things. When the Mishnah says that in the event that it happened l'mayla, it's going to be a problem, it's talking about where the bone broke, but it wasn't completely severed. When we go ahead now and we're marba and we're saying that the tzomis agidin itself is going to be an issue, kamash malon, that if the tzomis agidin were removed and the bone didn't break, that's also going to be an issue. Notice what the Mishnah is saying is that if the bone breaks, even if nothing happens to the tzomis agidin, and if the tzomis agidin get torn, even if nothing happens to the bone. When the Mishnah said l'maylum and arkuva psula, it means when something happened to the bone. But if nothing happened to the bone, well, then obviously it's not going to be a problem. Kamash malon, the halacha of achen shenitol tzomis agidin, that even if nothing happened to the bone, but if it was nitol tzomis agidin, in that situation, it's going to be a problem. But the Gemara says, Ula told Rav Yehuda, I hear what you're saying, it's a nice teretz, but v'nechtechu ketani, behimut shenechtechu raglam and arkuva l'mata, or it sounds like the whole thing was severed. If it was severed, how could you tell me that it didn't all fall apart? It sounds like everything fell apart, which means the Tzemes Agidin were already taken out. If Tzemes Agidin were already taken out, so included in Nechtach min Arkuva Lamayla would already be that the Tzemes Agidin were Nechtach. So you know the Tzemes Agidin something happened to. So how could you tell me that maybe what it meant Rechuva Beloy Tzemes Agidin? Nechtach means that the whole thing was completely severed, and if it was severed, the Tzemes Agidin is included. Sufficiently, according to me, it's the Arkuv El Yoyna, so it's only the Milam and Arkuv El Yoyna in level 3, where if it's Nechtach, it's going to be a problem. But level 2 is actually kosher. Kamash 1, Tzemes Agidin is going to be a problem. But according to you, the Mishnah already said that Nechtach, that middle area, is a problem. Included in that is Tzemes Agidin. So you told me the Tzemes Agidin, if something happens to it, it's possible. Why do you have to give a separate shout out to it? So the Gemara says, Ishtek, Rabbi Yehuda heard Ula's kasha, he didn't have what to respond. The boss said, the Nafik, after Ula left, Omar, this happens sometimes. So Rabbi Yehuda said, you know something? I had such a good response. Why didn't I tell it to him? My time alay amrile. Why didn't I tell him lemata min arkuva lemaila mitzaymes agidin? You know what I should have said? Right. Look back at the Mishnah. Mishnah said behemish nechtu ragleo min arkuva lemata ksheira min arkuva ulemaila is going to be psula. Maybe what I should have said was lemata means immediately beneath the arkuva. Anything immediately beneath the arkuva, if something happens to it, is going to be okay. But lemaila maybe doesn't mean immediately lemaila. Maybe lemaila means on top, but it has to be like a shtickle high up. And it's even above the Tzemes Agidin. And that's why the Mishnah has to come and the Mishnah has to say that you should know if something happens to Tzemes Agidin, it's going to be a problem. In other words, you're assuming that lemaila means immediately above. Anything immediately above is already possible. So that means I know if something happens to Tzemes Agidim, it's going to be possible. So why does Mishnah have to give a shout out to the Tzemes Agidim? Maybe Lamaila means a little higher up. So if Lamaila means a little higher up, so then maybe it means above the Tzemes Agidim. I have no way of knowing Tzemes Agidim is a problem. Now, L'chayra, what Rav Yehuda means to say is, avada everything l'mayla from the akuva al-tachtoina is going to be a problem. But I only know it because the Mishnah mentioned the tzaymas ha-gaitan. So now I know that everything, meaning from the word l'mayla, I could have thought maybe very high up. So the Mishnah of v'chein shenit tzaymas ha-gaitan, which we know is immediately above, that's like a clarification on the rule. I want to give you a rule, but I know the rule is a little sosun. So therefore I'm going to go and I'm going to clarify it. But the bottom line is not a kasha why you had to mention tzaymas ha-gaitan, because the rule is unclear. The Chedshid of Semis Hagidin is the clarification, it's the Pirish Rashi on what the rule is. But then the Gemara says, after Rabbi Yehuda for a minute felt bad that he didn't respond, Hada Amar, he said, you know something, it's a good thing I didn't say this, right? Why? Because V'lay Amri Le, didn't I tell him something decent? I thought I had a decent answer, right? What did I tell him? I told him that you want to know why the Mishnah mentioned Semis Hagidin, because Rechuva V'lay Semis Hagidin, Semis Hagidin V'lay Rechuva. I gave him a half decent answer, V'amali, but he responded to me and he told me, Nechta Chuktani. Meaning he's being very medactic in the Mishnah. He holds nechtek, who means something already happened to Tzaymas Hagidin. So in Merakuvah L'mayla P'sula, you know already that Tzaymas Hagidin are at. Well, if he's being so medactic, he's going to say the same thing. He's going to say L'mayla means mamash L'mayla. L'mata means immediately below, and L'mayla doesn't mean immediately above. Come on. And therefore, as much as I regret not telling him what I could have maybe told him, I realize now it's actually a good thing I didn't, because he would have came right back swinging, and as a result, it wouldn't gotten me anywhere anyways. Bottom line is, we have, for the moment, two mahalchim had to learn the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, named Rav Chia, who said that when the Mishnah says, min arkuva ulamata kshera, it means the arkuva tachtoina, min arkuva lamayla psula, it means the arkuva tachtoina, which means anything immediately beneath the arkuva tachtoina's kosher, anything immediately above, mamish from the tzemes hagidin up, is already going to be possible. According to Ula, the name of Oishia, the arkuva of the Mishnah is not the arkuva tachtoina, it's the arkuva aliyoina. Anything beneath the arkuva tachtoina is going to be, anything beneath the Arkuva al-Yoyna is going to be kosher. Anything above the Arkuva al-Yoyna is going to be possible, with the exception of the Tzemes Hagidin. The Tzemes Hagidin, even though it's beneath the Arkuva al-Yoyna, based on the rule of the Mishnah, should be kosher. That's the next halach of Chen Shenit al-Tzemes Hagidin. It's like the Gemara. Rapapa masnei hachi. Rapapa had a different nusach in Shitas Rav Yehuda. Rav Chiya. Lemata, when it says lemata, it means lemata min arkuva umitzemes hagidin. Lemata means underneath the arkuva and the tzemes hagidin. Now, we'll see in a minute that in Rapapa's version of Rav Yehuda, Rav Chiya, the Arkuva means Arkuva El Yoyna. This is very nuanced. It means the Arkuva El Yoyna. Stating that, when we say Lamata, Lamata means not immediately beneath, it means far beneath. So very far beneath the Arkuva El Yoyna. How far beneath? It's even beneath the Tzemes Hagidin, which essentially means it's the first section, which essentially means it's the equivalent thereof of saying Lamata from the Arkuva Tachtoina, but that's not what he means. It means Arkuva Al-Yoyna, as we'll see in a second. Ulamailo, and what he said, Lamailo means Lamailo me Arkuva Al-Yoyna, right? So really, when the Mishnah said Behemesh Nechtkur Aglam and Arkuva Lamata, it meant Lamata from the Arkuva Al-Yoyna, but all the way on the bottom. Section one. That's Ksheira. Min Arkuva Lamailo Psula, what did that mean? It means Lamailo from the Arkuva Al-Yoyna, and that's going to be Psula. Which means basically the Mishnah addressed the bottom section and the Mishnah addressed the top section and it somehow skipped over the middle section. So what do you do with that? That's the next part of the Mishnah. The Chesh Shenitol Tzoymes Hagidin, that within the middle section, there's a chiluk between the Tzoymes Hagidin and the rest. The Tzoymes Hagidin, that's going to be a problem. What's above the Tzoymes Hagidin, that's going to be okay. Varkuva Gufa. When we say the word Arkuv in the Mishnah, Zot Rapapa, in the name Rav Yudam Rav, Rav Chiyah, is Kidulam Rav Oishiyah. It's referring to the Arkuv Al-Yoyin, it's not referring to the Arkuv Al-Tachtayin. So according to Rapapa, in the name Rav Yudam Rav, Rav Chiyah, anything that's in the bottom section is going to be kosher. Anything that's in the top section is going to be a problem. As it relates to the middle section, the Ziyachloiku. The Tzoymes Hagidin, that area is going to be a problem. Anything above the Tzoymes Hagidin is actually not going to be an issue. If you think about it, whose Shita is this really? It's Ulam Rabbeishia, right? He just took the long Sina crew, but it's really Ulam Rabbeishia. Ulam Rabbeishia said that there's the Ekuv al Yoyin, which is the only Ekuv that we care about. If it's above it, it's possible. If it's beneath it, it's okay, with the exception of the Tzemes HaGidin. Okay, so just do the math. Above it, section 3, possible. Beneath it, section 1 and 2, kosher, with the exception of Tzemes HaGidin, which means section 1 is kosher because no Tzemes HaGidin there. Section 2 is where you have the Tzemes HaGidin, it's going to be a Yachloikum. Going to Rav Papa, in the name of Vidom Ravam Rav Chiya, it's identical. It's the same exact thing. What you have is beneath their kuvel yoyne, but all the way beneath section 1, that's going to be kosher. You have above section 3, that's going to be pasul. The next part of the Mishnah talks about the middle section and mechal, but not tzimtzum. So in terms of shita, really, if you think about it, Rav Papa, the name Rav Yehuda, Rav Amram, Rav Chiya, is identical to Rav Yoshi. So in the first version of Rav Yehuda, Rav Amram, Rav Chiya, it's a machloikis between what he's saying and what Ulam Rabbi Yishai is saying. In the second version, there's no machloikis. That's a huge nafkamina between two lashonis. Right? Sometimes you have to find the chiluk between the two lashonis. Here, the two lashonis are glaring. In one, there's a machloikis. In the other, there's no machloikis. In other words, what would be in the area of on top of the Tzemes HaGidin, but beneath our Kuvel Yoyna? Is that going to be kosher? Is that going to be pasul? Right? That's the Nidin over here. That's what's going on over here. Now, if that's the case, so what is Rav Papa, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chiya coming to be Mechadish, right? What exactly is the Chiddush? Why would he even say the Pshat that he's saying? Right? It's just better. What's the two drachim? I mean, what is the Machloikas? Let's start here. Between Rav Papa, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chiya, and between Ulam Rav Yishna. It's just in Taitcha the Mishnah. According to Ulam Rabbi Yishio, the taicha of the Mishnah is Arkuva means Arkuva al-Yoyna, Lamata means immediately beneath, Lamaila means immediately above. The second part, V'chein Shei Tzemes HaGidin, is a carve-out in what Lamata and Arkuva al-Yoyna means. According to Rav Papa, Amrav Yudam Rav, Amrav Chiya, Lamata Lamaila is also the Kruval Yoyna. But the Chilik is Lamata doesn't mean immediately beneath. Lamaila means immediately above. Lamata doesn't mean immediately beneath. What it means is, it means all the way on the bottom. What it means is all the way on the bottom. But in terms of the area that's immediately about him, that's the next part of the Mishnah. That's the part of the Mishnah that talks about if it was Nitzal Tzemes HaGidin, yeah, if not, no. Now, why would the Mishnah talk this way, right? According to Rav Papa, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chiya, it's just like a very funny way of saying it. Ulam Rav Yishio, and Rav Papa, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Chiya, saying the same exact thing, l'halacha. But at the same time, one seems to be talking grud, and the other one seems to be going v'loy nachem elikim derech eretz plishtin, right? It sounds like he's going very much tzedik tzeveg. So what's pushup shad? Why would he do it that way? So it sounds like there was this way of giving over the halacha of lamata and lamaila. We wanted it to be a klarezach. There's an area of lamata that's 100% kosher. There's an area of lamaila that's 100% a problem. The area that's lamaila, that happens to be immediately lamaila. The area that's lamata, that's section 1. Lamata is section 1, lamaila is section 3. Then there's this fuzzy area, and that's like the separate area. Just balabatish garet. It's something along those lines. But the bottom line is, these are the two lashonis in Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chiya, with a huge nafkamina. Is he being chaylik with Ulam Rav Yishio, or is he not being chaylik Ulam Rav Yishio? Now, what emerges from here, this really concludes the cheshbon part. From here until the end of the daf, it's just going to be pictures. But what emerges from here is that according to Ulam Rav Yishio, which is also Rav Papa, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chiya, the middle section is very, very unique. Because if you're lower down by the Tzemes HaGidin, if something happens, the animal's going to be a trefa. But if an area happens higher up, which usually you would think is a more sensitive area, then the animal's not going to be a trefa, right? The rule of the Mishnah is Lamata Ksheira Lamaila Psula. But within that middle section, it actually goes the other way. It's counterintuitive. Lamata is going to be Psula and Lamaila is going to be Kasha. And the Gemara asks, wonders out loud, Umiyakamidi, does this make sense? The Ilu Madli Pasikle Vechaya Misate Pasikle Omesa? If the issue happens higher up, Pasikle Vechaya Gizintai. But if it's Misati, if it happens lower down, Pasikle Omesa, Amravashi, Trefis Kamadam Sladadi, you can't even wonder out loud when it comes to Trefis. Hey, Naimim Betrefis Udaimilazu, you can't shtel to one Trefis to another. Shari Chaitchamikan Omesa, Chaitchamikan Vechaya, there's no symmetry to the laws of Trefis. And as a result, each Aver, each Gid, is unique, and therefore you can't shtel to one to the other, and you can't ask such a kasha. Either way, we mentioned the Tzemes HaGidin, mentioned it already prominently in Perikei L'Treifis. The Gemara now is going to get into a discussion, a detailed discussion of the Tzemis HaGidin. And really, if you want to set it up, again, super technical, if you want to set up, three things we're going to figure out. So we know, as we mentioned, high level where the Tzemis HaGidin are. What we're going to discuss now is, what's the low water mark? Where does it start? It's immediately above the Arkuva HaTachtoina, but how immediate? So what's the low edge of the Gvula Tachtoin of the Tzemis HaGidin? What's the Gvula Elyoin? How high up does it go? Additionally, what's the definition of Nitel Tzemis HaGidin? I mean, there's a bunch of Gidin, as we'll see. One Gid, two Gidin, Roiv the Gidin, Roiv Minyan, Roiv Binyan. This is all going to be discussed in this last Gemara of Eloin Tzemis HaGidin. The following are the Tzemis HaGidin. And the way Rashi explains, this is where it begins. So this is the Gvul HaTachtoin of the Tzemis HaGidin. So again, we know it's right around our Kuva HaTachtoino, but more specifically, Rabba, I'm Rav Ashi. Rabba's in the name Rav Ashi. Da'agarmo Labar. So the Metzius is that on the lowest part of the area immediately above the Arkuva Tachtoina, so the animal has these Gidin, but there's no Basa there. And Rashi says that the Gidin are flush to the Etzem, to the bone, that middle section, the tibia, I think that's what it was, and it's that area, there's zero Basa. At some point, as the Gidin start making their way up, it starts penetrating the Basa, because then already the animal has a little bit more flesh. So it's from the area of the Agarmo Labar, from the area where it starts spreading out, that's where the Tzemis HaGidin begins. Now where it ends, that's the next discussion of the Gemara. But you want to know where it starts, that's where it starts. Rabba Barav Huna Am Rav Ashi. So again, the first Shita was Rabba in the name of Rav Ashi. This is Rabba Barav Huna in the name of Rav Ashi. It's Dagarmo Lubav, just the opposite. It's Tafka, the area where there is no Basar, where all you have is the Gidim, and the Gidim are attached to the Etzem. That's the area that's known as the Tzemis HaGidin. But anything above that is already not. So it's that area where it's mamish there, that's where it's considered the Tzemis HaGidin. Rava Brei de Rabba Barafuna Amar Rav Asi, this is a little tricky, the Ilovi Arkaima. It starts from the area immediately above the Arkoim. So Rashi says the Arkoim is a very small bone that's right on top of the Arkuva HaTachtoino. And right on top that, that's where it starts. Rashi also says that Rava Brei de Rabba Barafuna Am Rav Asi is giving you the widest definition of what exactly the Tzemis HaGidin are, because that's like the lowest point. So the area of Dagarmo Levar, that's pretty high up. Then you have the area of Dagarmo Legav, that's by definition beneath the area of Dagarmo Levar. And beneath that, you have the area immediately above the Arkoin. Stating that, the Gemara says, Yosef Hum Rabbanu Kamei de Rababa. There was a rabbi that was sitting in the presence of Rababa, Yosef Vikamar, and he sat down and he said, Darkuma Gufa, that Darkuma itself, not Ilove Arkuma, but even Darkuma itself, that little bone, any Gidin that are parallel to that bone, that would already be considered Tzemis HaGidin. Amal hu Rababas, Rababu was there, he said, Lei tetzitzu lei, don't listen to him, to that younger man. Hachi amir Rav Yehuda, I'll tell you, Rav Yehuda said, it's Heicha de Pari Tabachi, that it starts by the area of Pari Tabachi. Rashi says, the butcher tearing it apart, that's the area. Rav Brei de Rabba Barafuna, Am Ravasi, that was the third Shita, that's Ilovi Arkuma. So this Shita of it being so low already, the Arkuma itself, Lei tetzitzu, Tzisule, don't listen to them. That's not true. I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmol. So now we're going to figure out up until where it goes. So I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmol. Tzemis HaGidin Sha'amru, as it relates to Tzemis HaGidin, it's Makam Sha'agidim Tzemsen. So as long as you're in the area that the Gidin are all Tzemsen, so Rashi says, Mechubarim Yachad V'nirin Kigid Echad. When they're all Tzemisht and Tzedrait, and they all look like one, even though they're many, they're interlocked. That's the area of the Tzemis HaGidin. Okay, so how high does that go? So one of the Rabbanon said, and you should know his name was Rabbi Yaakov. When I was Rabbi Yehuda, he said, Shimon minim milsin v'gavir rabba shmil. Listen to what I'm about to say, because what I'm about to say is not my own chiddush. I heard in the name of a gavir rabba. Umanu, who's the gavir rabba Shmuel? So the bottom line is what Shmuel said. Tzemis HaGidin sha'amru, makam sha'agidim tzemsim. But as long as you're in the area where the Gidin are Tzemsen, the Mechubar Miachad, you're in the Tzemis HaGidin neighborhood. And it goes how high? It starts in the area where they interlock, and it goes up until the point where they begin to spread. Vikama, what's the shear? Meaning, you have all these marmakoimas here, but the bottom line is, like, what is the actual share? Like, if you were to measure it, what would it be? Amar Abaye, Abaye said, arba batate batura. If you have a shar, meaning you have a behema gasa, it would be the width of four etzbois. Bedaka, what if you have a behema daka? My, what would be the aloch there? Amar Abaye, Abaye said, let me explain that to you as well. Beliti, the area where the gidim are boilate, where they're protruding, have it same as a gidim, it's considered part of the same as a gidim. Beli, when they're nivla, it's not same as a gidim anymore. Lo yavit samis agidin. Ashuni, where they're hard, havit samis agidin. Rakichi, where they're soft, lo yavit samis agidin. Alimi, where they're thick, havit samis agidin. Ktini, where they're thin, lo yavit samis agidin. Chivri, where they're white, havit samis agidin. Lo yichivri, when they're not white, lo yavit samis agidin. Mar Rav Ashi Omar, that by the way, even the zigi avagaft lo yichivri, that as long as they're a little bit white, even if they're not 100% white, that's already enough for them to be considered samis agidin. So these are all these mar makoimas. These are like the cheat sheets to know how exactly something is samis agidin. Amar Amir Mishmei the Rav's vid. So I may send the name Rav, and the Gemara now is going to focus on what's the definition of nitel tzemes agidin. He said, when it comes to behema, there are three chutin that make up the tzemes agidin. By the way, if you remember for Perek Eilutreifus, we said 16 chutin, right? That's for an oif. The Gemara is going to get to that in a second. But this is for a behema. When it comes to a behema, it's three chutin, three gidin. Chad alima, one is very thick, betrei ktini, and the other two are thin. Ifsik alima, in the event that the thick one was nechtach, as the roiv binyan, you lost the roiv binyan, and the animal's going to be a treifa. If sikatini, if the two little guys were severed, as the roiv minyan, you lost the roiv minyan, and as a result, that's also going to be a problem. So you want to know what the definition of nechtach tzemes agidin is? If you lose a roiv, be it roiv binyan, so the one alimi, or be it roiv minyan, the two ktinis, that would be a problem. Ma'bar of ashi masni l'kula. He said the same exact thing, but not like ameim ha-mishmei de rav zvid l'chumra. He said a lakula. He said, ifsik alima, in the event that something happened to the thick one, it's still going to be kosher. You know why? Because ha'ikar roiv minyan. And ifsik ketini, if something happens to the little ones, it's still going to be kosher. Because ha'ikar roiv minyan. So according to Amei Mishmei Rav Zvid, if you lose one of the roivs, it's possible. According to Ma'abar Avashi, if you have one of the roivs, it's going to be kosher. You'd have to lose both of the roivs in order for this to be a problem. But oifes, when it comes to oifes, shitzachutia, there are 16 gidin. Ipsik chad minayu treifa. If something happens to one of them, it's considered a treif. Amar Abba Rav Ashi, I'll tell you a mice. Avakim the kamid Abba. I was by my father. So who's Marba Rav Ashi's father? Rav Ashi. The Isaac the kamid oifa, and they brought him an oif. Ubadak, and he was boydik. The Ashkech bechameser. He was looking for the tzaymes agidin, and he saw there were only 15. That's a problem because you're missing one of them. And if you're missing one of them, it's going to be an issue. Havachad davashani mechavri. But then he noticed that one of these gidin looked a little different than the other gidin. So what did he do? Naftze. He opened it up. Ashkech trei, and he saw there were really two. There was a snack and get inside, and based on that, he was able to be machshed. Am Rav Yehuda Marav. Tzemes agidin sha'amru berubai. Rav Yehuda Marav said, you want to know the definition of nitel v'nechtach tzemes agidin? It's berubai. That's very cryptic. We just mentioned the machloikis. If you lose roiv minyan, it's a problem. Or as long as you have a roiv minyan, roiv binyan, you'd have to lose both in order for it to be a problem. So what does that mean, berubai? Snes de gemara, my berubai. Roiv echon mehen. Rubai means that if one of them, one of the Gidin, loses roiv of it, at that point, it's already going to be an issue. And by the way, it sounds like I don't care which one it is. Even if it's not the Alimi, even if it's one of the little guys, even if it's one of the Ktimi. But if something happens to one of them, at that point, it's going to be an issue. Kamit kamit shmul. When this was said to Shmuel, Amali, this is Rabbi Yehuda talking. He said, I said of what I heard from Rav and Shmuel. So we know Rabbi Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav and a Talmud of Shmuel, first Rav then Shmuel. So very often he hears things from Shmuel and or from Rav and he repeats it to Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda said that I repeated what I heard from Rav. That said, Tzoymes agidim berubai. And what does rubai mean? Roiv echon mehen. So Shmuel said, Amali mechti klosahava. There's three gidim. Ki mifsik chad minayu legamri. Even if one would be completely severed, forget about roiv. If one of them would be completely severed. Oh, you could trade, you still have a roiv. Why would I never heard such a chiddush? That's like mamish of vilde chiddush. To tell me that you're missing one, that already should be an issue. Why in the world would that be an issue? And one, even if it's the one alimi, oh, you lost roiv binyan. That already we said, Amei Mishmei Rav Zvid. But any one, if roiv of it is severed, any one, even if all of it was severed, wouldn't be a problem because you're for sure left with the roiv. And by the way, if that one that was severed was the ketina, you would have the roiv binyan and the roiv binyan. So I don't think that could be an issue. So the Gemara jumps on what Shmuel said. The Gemara said, time you take a The way Rav Yehuda is telling the story, it sounds like, what did Shmuel say? Shmuel said that if something would happen to Roiv of one, or even if one was legamri taken away, I don't think this would be an issue. Why? Because ha'ikotre. Oh, sounds like only because it's two. Ha'lekotre. What would be if you wouldn't have to? Let's say two of them would get knocked out. It sounds like Shita Shmuel would be a problem. So, if that's the case, upliga de Rav Noi. What Rav Yehuda is saying in the name of Shmuel is at odds with what Rav Noi said in the name of Shmuel. Amar Rav Noi, Yama Shmuel. Same as Agidin. Afilu le nishtayr ba ela kechut ha'sarbel. Even if all you have is kechut ha'sarbel, you have one tiny little piece, kshera, at that point, it's going to be kosher. Meaning, even if Roif or Ruba de Ruba of all three were taken, and all you have is a chut ha'sarbel left, even that's going to be okay. That doesn't sound like what Rav Yehuda is saying he heard from Shmuel and Shmuel's reaction to Rav's memory. Because again, Rav Yehuda tells Shmuel, I heard from Rav, so I'm going to say, Gidim berubay, my berubay roiv echamehen. And what's Shmuel's reaction? I understand, ikotrei, as long as you have two, it should be fine. It sounds like you have to have a roiv al kopanim. Rav Noi said that according to Shmuel, if you have a tiny sliver of each one of them, that itself is going to be okay. You certainly don't have a roiv, but you have this little chut ha'sarbel. Must be, it's pligi de Rav Noi. Ikid Amri, some had a different version of this. My Ruboy, when Rav Yehuda told Shmuel that I heard from Rav, so I'm like, he didn't shenito Ruboy. What did he mean? Ruboy mean roiv kol echad ve'echad. That if roiv of everything was taken, at that point it's going to be a problem. He didn't mean roiv of one. He meant roiv of echad ve'echad. Kamita Shmuel said Rav Yehuda. Then I went to Shmuel and Amali. You know what Shmuel told me? Mechti tlasa havo. You could tilsa the chol chad v'chad. You have a third, or a third's lab dafko. I have a little part of each one, and if that's the case, it should be okay. And if that's what his reaction was, he held that even if you took roiv of all three, as long as I have a little sliver of everything, it should be fine. That's misayin yeyalei the rabbanoid. Amar rabbanoid am a Shmuel. Same as again, the shamar afilin ishtar belu chutas arbal sheira. This would actually support it. So according to the first version, based on what Shmuel's reaction to Rabbi Yehuda was, it's a raya that Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda something that Rabbi Noi had in the name of Shmuel. According to the second version, it actually is consistent. So the bottom line is, where does the Tzemes HaGidin start? Where does it end? Ask your local Shoichit. In terms of what the definition of Nechtach V'nitel Tzemes HaGidin is, this was also clearly a huge shayla. We have Amemer Mishmei de Rab Zvid that said that if you lose Roif Minyan or Roif Binyan, it's going to be a problem. We have Baravashi, who said that as long as I have either Roif Minyan or Roif Binyan, it's going to be okay. We had Rav's Memra, where Rav said, Tzemes HaGidin She'amru Berubay. We had two versions in what exactly Rav meant. Did Rav mean Roiv of one? Even that's already a problem. That would be a huge chiddush, because it sounds like even Roiv of one of the ketinis, where you have Roiv Minyan and you have Roiv Binyan, still would be a problem. According to the second version, what he meant to say was, if you lose Roiv of each one, it's then and only then that it's going to be a problem. So Dafka, if you lose the Roiv of all three, there's going to be an issue. Additionally, we have two versions in what Shita Shmuel is, because Shmuel reacted when he heard Rav's halacha. Rav Yehuda told Shmuel what he heard from Rav. Shmuel gave a reaction. But there's also a Messiah that Rabbi Noi had in the name of Shmuel. According to the first version in Shita Shmuel is that if one of them loses Roiv, as long as you have two good ones, that should be fine. And even if you lose one Lagami, so it sounds like Shita Shmuel, as long as you have two out of three. I mean, it doesn't even get involved, Roiv Minyan, Roiv Binyan. As long as you have two out of three, that in itself, Roiv Minyan, it sounds like, that in itself is going to be okay. And then there's Rabbi Noi Shita, which is also Rav Yehuda Mashmul in the Ikad Amri, and that is as long as you have a tiny sliver of all three of them, that would be okay. Again, a whole bunch of Shitas, and we are going to stop here and go back to Ezer Hashem and do a part two to the raid that we spoke about yesterday. So, yesterday's raid focused on the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Yud. The Rambam says, Mutter lishchet es ha-mu'beres. It's mutter teshecht a behemu mu'beres. Why? Uber eiver mi'imayo. The Rishonim say that it's mavur from the Lashon HaRambam, that there would have been a havamina, that it's aser teshecht a behemu mu'beres. That's why the Rambam had to tell us that no, it's not aser, it's really mutter. Why would you have thought it's aser? It's because the pasuk says v'shoyr oiseh oisoy ve'espinoy loisishchato b'yemecha. And if you shecht the behemah muberes, a good chance that the ober is going to die. And if that's the case, it would emerge that you violated the isser in the Torah of oisoy ve'espinoy loisishchato b'yemecha. By the way, the Rambam brings this halacha of mutar lishchay des amuberes in Perek Yudeis and Hilchas Shechita. If you go through Perek Yudeis and Hilchas Shechita, it's all the halachas of oisoy ve'espinoy. Halacha aleph starts shoychit oisoy ve'espinoy b'yemecha loikesh. Halacha Yud in the Perek Oisei Vespinoi of the Rambam is where he brings this halacha of mutar lishchay des amuberes. It's obvious that that's what the Rambam was addressing, and that is you would add a hava mino that this should be included in the sugya of Oisei Vespinoi loisishchatu b'yemechad. Kamash polon zok the Rambam that it's not a problem. Why is it not a problem? So the Rambam gave a reason. He said it's because uber is eiver me'imayu. We said over for a mer simcha nor sameach. He was masber. That what the Rambam meant was that when we say that if somebody shechts a behema muberes, not only is the mother mutter ba'achila, but the uber is also mutter ba'achila, the gedder advarim is that we see the shechita working for the uber just like it's working for the mother. And the gather of how that happens is not that we see two shchitas. Kill, there was a shchita on the mother and there was a shchita on the uber. But rather we view the uber as being ever me'imai, so that if there was a shchita on the mother, obviously the shchita works for all the evarim, and included in all the evarim is the uber. And that's the way the Rambam was miyashim. That's the way the Rambam explained why it is that mutar lishchay des amuberes. It's because there's not two maisa shchitas taking place over here. There's only one maisa shchita taking place. And being that there's only one maisa shchita taking place, so obviously this is not a violation of the law and the Torah of oisa v'espinu oisa shchata b'yemecha. And we mentioned that in this Rambam Simcha licked a giloy to the superlundis and the chakiras hayaduos that are discussed in the sugyas of Ben Pakur. One chakira is, what's the pshat in the heter of the Ben Pakur? Is the pshat that the shchit of the mother works for the uber? Or is the pshat that a Ben Pakur doesn't require a shchit? And intim tzoloimah, that it's the shchit of the mother that works for the uber. Is the pshat that we see two shchitas taking place? Or it's one shchita because I view the uber as being a chelag of the mother? The Rambam, b'lishoyne azov, says Rameh Simcha, was telling you the second tzad in the first side of the chakira. And that is that when you shecht a behema muberes, the reason the uber is mutter is because I see a peshchita in the uber. However, the gather of the shchita is uber ever me'imoyhu. Uber ever me'imoyhu, says the Rambam. It's for that reason there's one shchita taking place, it's not two shchitas taking place, and therefore it's going to be okay. We mentioned that really this lumdus, the way Rameh Simcha learned up the Rambam in Perik Yud Beis, Halacha Yud, in Hilcha Shchita, the Brisker Rav, in the Michtav, to Rabbi Chatzkel Abramsky, in the end of Chidushei Moron Rizal Levi and Sefer, page 158. So the Brisker Rav told Rabbi Chatzkel Abramsky that that's also pshat in the Rambam, in the end of Perikei of Hilchas Macholos Asuris. The Rambam over there discusses a Ben Pakua that was born to a behemoth Trefa. And the Rambam says, you're not allowed to eat from that Ben Pakua. And the Brisker Rav and Rabbi Chatzkel Abramsky were mutching a little bit. Why is it that you're not allowed to eat it? L'chura, if there's halacha Ben Pakua, so why don't we say that the shchita of the mother should work for the up? What are you going to tell me because the mother's a treifa? Treifa doesn't make it a chesaron in shchita. There's a din that where a behem is a treifa, you're not allowed to eat it. But mitzad the shchita, it's kosher. V'horaya, it's metayr midei tumas nevelo. So to the extent that it was a good shchita, and a chinam, you can't eat the mother because the mother's a treifa, but why can't you eat the uber? The uber is not a treifa, let it be mutter. So said the Brisker Rav, it's the same lamdas, because the way the heter of Ben Pakua works is that the shchita is one singular shchita, but I view the uber as being echad me'evareh shelo aim. So if the aim is a treifa and b'cheftza can't be chal heter on the aim, so how can it be chal heter on the uber? And said the Brisker Rav, look at the lashon of the Rambam. Kares na behema ishach behema treifa umatzav ben tishachai tzorich shchita la'atiroi. Then shchitas imoy my elasloi. I'm skipping mepnei shehu ke'ever me'imoy. The same exact lashon. It's because it's ever me'imoy. In other words, what Rameh Simcha was medayik from the Rambam in Perek Yubeis Hilchas Shchita, the Brisker Rav was medayik from the Rambam in Perekei Hilchas Macholis Asur. It's the same exact lamdas. That the way the heter ben pakua works is second maisa shchita. But rather, we view the uber klape, the halachas of ben pakua, as echad me'evara. We were moisif at the end of the raid, and we said that l'chura, it's very mistabit to say, that even though the Rambam seems to be invoking the idea, the shas idea of uber yerechimai, but it's you talking that the Rambam doesn't mean to get involved in uber yerechimai. befrat the Rambam in Hilchas Shechita. Because if he meant Uba Yerech Imoy, that would mean that if you hold Uba Lav Yerech Imoy, it's Asa Teshecht, a Behemim Uberes, how come no one ever heard of such a Shechita? Nervous. The Rambam's learning up the Gzeres Akasa Beben Pekua, Behemah Bebehemah, V'choyl Bebehemah. And the Rambam's telling you that over here, Kul Alma Moedi Uba Yerech Imoy. We mention on top of that for Rabbi Leo Greenzeig, Zechreino Levracha, in his Mikra Eden Parshas told us, he said that throughout Shas, the Gemara brings the Machlokes Uba Yerech Imoy, Uba Lav Yerech Imoy, and the Gemara never mentions what the Makar is to Uba Yerech Imoy. It's mistaber that the Makar is Perek Behema Makasha, and Faker, the Machlokes Uba Yerech Imoy, Uba Lav Yerech Imoy is whether or not Behema Makasha, this lumdest way the Rambam understood it, is a global halacha, so you could shtel to all the sugis that Chazal shtel to Uba Yerech Imoy too, or maybe it's a very mesuyim, very local halacha that's only to get you here, would have no shaykhist everywhere else. Either way, this was a sikum, a very brief, abbreviated sikum of yesterday's ray. If you take a look at the Ars Sameach that we quoted, Hilchas Shechita Perek Beis Halachiyah, after he learns up the Rambam, he adds one cryptic line. He says, "V'zetam nochoin listoin pi atzadoikim." Says Rameh Simcha that this Rambam is a tam nochoin listoin pi atzadoikim, and then in parentheses, "Urei b'sefer ha'eshkoil b'shem Ramashulim Goyin ma'sheheshiv l'minim." Take a look at Sefer ha'eshkoil in the name Ramashulim Goyin. What he answered to the meaning. So if you look at the Sefer Eshkol, it says as follows. Because of Chadmin Rab Vasa, Lehejev Es Aminim Hachi. One of the Rishonim, Simcha says it was Rav Meshulam Goyin, but one of the Rishonim, one of the Goyinim, was Miyashiv the Minim as follows. He said, Valashlil HaNimtza Bebehem, an Uber that was found inside the Rechem of a mother. Dinoi Sheyehe Nita B'Shchitas Imay. The Eimbay Mishom Oysay V'Espenoy. You should know there's no issue there with Oysay V'Espenoy. V'Koyroy, Umoytzi Es Damoy, Umote Ba'Achila. Why? She'enkarui ben at she'yetze mimei imai. Because an animal is not considered a ben until it's born. When it's an uber, it's not called a ben. V'cheinu oimer, ki im bincha ha'yoytze mechal ha'tzecha. That's when something's called a ben. V'chein bedobidu oimer, hinei bni ha'yoytze mimei. V'cheinu oimer, hinei chara v'yoyladet ben. What do you see from all these psukim? She'enkarui ben at she'yivaleit v'yetze la'avar oilam. And the emissid said, Rav Meshulam Goyin, Ube behema atzmuksiv, you find this by behemoth, it says, Shor, oy kesef, oy eis, ki yivoled, she'enkori shor, oy kesef, oy eis, ad she'yivoled, until it's going to be born. V'chein, zesha kosaboy, oysev espenoy, loysev shchatu b'yoy mechot. So when it says in the Torah, oysev espenoy, loysev shchatu b'yoy mechot, la'achaledo, Koru ben, it's davka lachaleda, it's called oisnoi vespenoi. Abe bimei imoi, einoi koru ben, umutter, and it's going to be mutter. So it says Rameh Simcha, take a look at the Sefer Eshkol, who quotes Minchad Mirabvas Ramashun Goyin, who was Meshiv the Minim, who held that it's also to Shech the Bein Muberes, because they held that it's oisnoi vespenoi, leis eschat to be a mech. And what was the teretz that he gave? The teretz he gave was it's not called benoi. You know why it's not called benoi? Because benoi means once it's born. Benoi means where it's ki im bincha hayoytze michalotzecha hine bini hayoytze mimeya hinach hara v'yoladez bein, and by behema also shor oy kesef oy eis ki yivoled, it's then and only then that it's going to be considered a ben. But the point is that's why it's not considered oytzev espenoy. The truth is that this inyan of tshuvas haminim that the Sefer Eshkol brings minchan miravasa, it says it already in the Sefer HaNetzachim. So we've quoted the Sefer HaNetzachim several times over the years. It was written by one of the Rishonim, Rabbi Yontif Lipman Milhoisen, quoted by the Shla, as a big mechaber of tefillahs. He was a Talmud of the author of the tefillah Baruch Shem Avohi Olam. But Rabbi Yontif Lipman Milhoisen, he wrote a Sefer called Sefer HaNetzachim. It's a very interesting Sefer. It's a Pirush Al HaTorah, and it's all the vikuchim that the Gedol Yisrael, the Prushim had with the Tzedukim and the Baisusim and all these Minim and Apikarsim, b'meshach t'dar. So if somebody wants to prepare Chumash Torah and wants to say over a vikuach at the Shabbos table, make for interesting discussion. So you can open the Sefer on the Tzachin and literally Al Seder HaParsha, he has these in Yonim, and Baruch Hashem over the years, there's a few stickers, we've mentioned some of the shtiklach. In Parshas Emor, v'shoir, oy kesef, oy eis, Mikan liglugu aleinu hatzedukim. The tzeduka were malaglig on us. Sha'anu shoichten es abehema kishim uberes. Because we shechta behema uberes. And they had tainus. And he goes and he says, essentially, there's a little more there, ayin sham, if you want to see it inside. But essentially, what the Sefer Eshkol brought min chabir avos. So this was an inyan that the Rishonim were dealing with. The Rishonim were going up keneged these minim, and they were dealing with this inyan. And their response was, ki im bincha yoytze michalotzecho, hinoch pnei yoytze mimeyai, hinoch harvi aladet bein. Take a look at the psukim that the Rabbi Yontef Lippman Milhoisen brings. But the mahalach was, there's no problem with Oysa Vesmenoi. You know why there's no problem with Oysa Vesmenoi? Because Ben is not considered shorei kesef eski yivoli. Actually, yivoli, it's not considered Ben. So what's Oysa Vesmenoi? Yishech tedevei muberes, you're going to end up killing the Uber. This is not something that should be a problem. The reason it's not something that should be a problem, because at the end of the day, this won't be an issue. The Emes says, if you look in the Rishonim, they bring that really the source of these minim, were the Karoim. The source of these minim were the Karoim. So not all minim were created equally, right? We lumped them all together. You have the Kutim, and you have the Tzedukim, and you have the Baisusim, and you have the Karoim, and the minim of Apikarsin. All the Fashidim, Malshinim, and all these Chevra, right? But the Karam were a very unique group of people. They lived in the Arab countries, Bavel, where, by the way, like the latest Amoraim and the Savoraim and the early Goinim lived. They rear their ugly heads in a meaningful way for the first time in the 9th century in the times of Rav Sadia Goyen. And they were around for a couple of hundred years. They were very erlich, they were very, very from, but they didn't believe in the Torah Shabbat Pass. So obviously their Yiddishkeit was meaningless. But the point is, them zech gehalten as very, very from a people. And they even had a whole Shulchan Aruch of how you're supposed to observe the halachas of the Torah. In the Shulchan Aruch of the Karoim, Lahavdol Elif Alfi Avdolis, it says as follows. It says, Vishoy oi se oisoi ve'espinoi, Kasabaloshin Zachar v'chulu, Valkain osu lishchoi behema hara ki hayelet bimeyel. If you're going to say that whatever they have in their me'ayim is not called banim, and from that pasuk, which is referring to Yaakov and Esav, and they're in the womb of their mother, and they're called banim. So they tiny, this was the meaning. They said, what kind of business is this? And leheshev es aminim, Rami Shulam Goyin, and Riyom Tavlitman Milhoisen, and Rami Simcha sends you to this whole schmooze. That's why we're talking about this. This is our license to discuss this. But the point is, they were coming from a pasuk in Parashas Toldos. They felt the fact that it says Vayitzroitz Abad Mekimah. That's right. So what's the teretz? And it's interesting because nobody really addresses it Mefurish. Oh, but the emes is, we know what the teretz is. The teretz is, if you take a look at Devin Ezra, on that pasuk Vayitzroitz Abad Mekimah says V'nikru Bonim Al Shem Soifon. They're called Bonim Al Shem Soifon. The Chen and Devin Ezra, Kedarke brings rayas that sometimes the Torah talks Al Shem Soifon. So the Torah is describing something happening in real time, but describing the things or the players based on what they will be in the future. They're being described Bonim Al Shem Soifon because at some point they're going to be Bonim. But the bottom line is that Teretz to the Minim is the Evan Ezra. It's really Al Shem Soifon. And by the way, we know the Evan Ezra was busy with the Karoim. The Rosh HaKaroim was a fellow by the name of Anan ben David. That was his name. He was from Malchus Beis David. He claimed to be the Reish Galus or whatever. But anyways, his name was Anan ben David. And we know that Evan Ezra quotes Anan. Kiyadu, we don't like him a lot. But he quotes Anan. And sometimes, if you know the Rishonim, in a very subtle way, they're referencing something that was a very, very big deal that you would never appreciate. V'nikru bonim al shem soifam. There's a mulchama going on over here. This is in Sefer HaNitzachim, literally. And the bottom line is, this is sort of the rest of the story. This is what it is that's playing itself out. So the bottom line is, Akrimei Simcha, that you see the Rishonim were already very busy with this Vikuach, because the Minim, specifically the Karoim, were of the opinion that you're not allowed to shech the behemah with bears. And in their Shulchan Aruch, this was not something that's okay. And what's the reason? Because the teretz is, we have to miyash of this. The whole perek of behemah makasha. We know you're allowed to shech the behemah with bears. So the minim went ahead and the minim said, no, that's not called a ben. It's not called a ben. And I have all these rayas that it's not called a ben. That's only going to be mentioned al shem soifa. And if it's not called a ben, so therefore, when it's a muberes, there's no issue of oisai vesbenoi. That the Rambam came ahead and the Rambam gave a different teretz. Because when the Rambam said, now that you know the Karoim, we're infatuated with this idea, it's poshit. If you know anything about the Rambam was busy dealing with the Karoim. So the Rambam's going ahead and the Rambam is fighting the Karoim, and that's mutter lechatchilo lishchoy behem muberes lohoitzi miliban shalak Karoim. And he gave a new reason. So says Rabbi Simcha that this time of the Rambam said, tam noch in listen piyat. So that's what the Rambam meant to do. Rambam meant to give a different reason. It's interesting that what emerges is really we have two drachim, we have two mahalchim to answer this tshuvas aminim, and that is maybe it should be also to shech the beim muberes based on oisai vayis benoi lois shechat beim echad. We have the mahalach that all the rishonim seem to have, and their vikuchim, this is the way the rishonim went. They say it's not called benoi, because as long as it's bimei imoi, it's not going to be called benoi. And then we have the Mahalach of the Rambam. The Rambam says it's because Uber Ever Me Imayu, and being that Uber is Ever Me Imayu, it's one Maisa Shchita, there's no Shchita taking place. Now, what did the Karam hold? So we know the Karam held that the Uber is considered a Ben. They had a Raya. But clearly, they also held that in the world of Ashoichet Behema Muberes, in the lundus of it, the way you would see it is that there's two Shchitas taking place. There's a Shchita in the mother, and there's a Shchita in the Uber, and as a result, it would be like a too. It would be two shchitas b'yay mechad. That's not something that's okay. Meaning, they held not like what we hold, which is that an Uber is not called a ben. Also, not like the longest of the Rambam of Uber is not even me. So the fact that they weren't oymid on the oymik of Rameh Simchin or Sameach and Marna Griz in the Michtav, that doesn't come as a pichidish to me. But the bottom line is, they say, well, there's a shchit on the Uber. There's two shchitas going on. They missed the whole boat. They didn't know this or Sameach. They didn't know the Brav in the Michtav. And as a result, this is what's going on over here, right? So again, they're coming from, number one, there's two shchitas taking place. And number two, the Uber is a ban. The tshuva to the minim is one of two things. You could go with the derech of the Rambam, and that is, it's one shchit, it's not two shchitas, because together ben pekua is ubi erechim, right? Or you could go the way the Rishonim went, and that is that an uber is not considered a ban. I just want to be myself one hour. That is, it's yodua that Rabbi Kiva Eger in Shailos Tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger, and this is a simon kufayim beis, he asks very interesting question. He says that why is it mutter for a man to be boil ishtoi me'uberes? There should be a problem of being ba'al bitoi. To the extent that his wife is mu'beres and she's carrying a bas, and you have to know why Reb Kivega only asked from bas and not from ben, but Kivega's kash is from bas. Why is there no problem of being ba'al bitoi? Azoy freit Reb Kivega, this is a tshuva that was written to his son Reb Shloime Eger. Zot Rabbi Kiva Eger, you're going to tell me what Shaykh is. He's not being Baal Bita. He said, but the Gemara says in Masechtas Tmura that in the event that there was a behema that was nirvas, so somebody was revei with a behema, so we know that behema is also to put on the Mizbech. But it's not only the behema that's also to put on the Mizbech. Any Uber that was inside the behema at the time of the revia is also going to be asr. And in the lashon of the Gemara, because he uvlada nivalo, because we say say the behema and say the uber were both somehow part of this bia. If that's the case, Frank Rabbi Kiva Eger, if there's an idea of he uvlada nivalo, say hech mutter beishtoy meuberes, he uvlada nivalo, this person's being baal pita. Azoy Frank Rabbi Kiva Eger. His mahalach is even more surprising. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, but muscharishin, I think the teretz is, because we know a ketana that's p'chusa mibaski moshon of yoymechad is not a basbia. So being that she's an uber, so she's less than 3 years old. So she's not a basbia. So it's not a maisbia. Of Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's a problem. The reason is because we know that a zachar, a katan, who's less than 9 years old, is also not a barbia. Yet Chazal said that a katan who's less than 9 years old, that's baal. Midirabbanan, we treat it like a maisa bia. It's negay a lot of different halachas. So if midirabbanan al kapanim, a katan who's less than 9 years old's bia is a bia. So a ketana who's less than 3 years old bia should also be considered a bia. So l'chura al kapanim midirabbanan should be a problem. Instead, they rise that she's not a bas bia, but midirabbanan should be a problem. Zakrab kveg, it's pasha. The only time the rabbanan say something is aser is where if the rabbanan wouldn't institute their iser, it would be mutter. A katan who's less than 9 years old is not a bar bia. Based on that, if he would do a maisa bia, it would be nothing. Chazal had to come and say, we don't want it to be nothing. So they said, midrabbanan, the bia is going to be considered a bia. A ketana p'chusim v'askim l'shana b'yayim mechad, if someone would be baal, it wouldn't be nothing. The reason it wouldn't be nothing is because to the extent that she's not a bas bia, it's ki'ilu, the person was baal in eitzim v'avonim, and he's going to be over the iser of hashchas hazer l'vatala. So kumtais, it's anyway, it's going to be awesome. So zokrab kivega half of a fellow. It comes out that if someone's baal, on a ketana p'chusim v'baskim l'shana v'yayim echad, midday rice, it's nothing because she's not a bas bia. Midday rabbanon, it's also nothing, because why would the rabbanon go ahead and make something aser that otherwise is anyways aser because of hashchas hazer l'vatala? So there's no isn't day rice and no isn't rabbanon. What is there? This is an isser zera levatola. In this case, where it's being baalish, there's no zera levatola. So based on that, zokrab kivega v'advarim mefushamim, this is not going to be an issue. So he's talking about Kiveg. So Kiveg was muching that based on the Gemara, he who vlad the nirvu should be usher for a man to be baal ishna muberes because he's being baal bitoy. The teretz is, she's a p'chusim v'askim l'shana v'yamechad, I isid rabbanon. There's no reason to make such an issue because it's zera levatol, but here's not zera levatol, so based on that, it's going to be mut. This from Kiveg bothered me tremendously. Tremendously. Kiveg is asking that if somebody's baal on ishna muberes, he should be a baal bitoy. Why? Because the Uber is his daughter. Whose taina is that? That's the Karoyim. Kvega's naming on the Karoyim and his kind. What's Pashup Shan with Kvega? Imamish bothered me. Kvega's naming on the Karoyim. That is the Vikuach. That's the Chuvas Aminim. Open the Sefer Eshkol. Take a look at the Sefer Anitzachim. This was the grace of Vikuach. The Shaila was, is there Oysev Espinola, is the Shchat Bemechor Uber or not? The Karoyim said, yeah, it's considered Benoi. The Mina said, no Sheikhis. Shoyre Kesveis, Achei Volet. All the Psukim by humans, for sure it's like that. In a Harav Yeladet, it's not, if it's not Benoi and Oysev Espinola, it's not Bito. It's Vos Vil Reb Kivei. Kivei is naming on the Karoyim, it's Mamish, it's a Milsa to me. It bothered me tremendously. Then this is another Reb Kivei. This Reb Kiveger is in a Zagoyis and Shulchan Aruch, it's in Ilchas Basav Echalav, it's in Simen Pei Zayin. It's a Hafeldig Reb Kiveger. We've mentioned this a few times over the years. Reb Kiveger has a suffix whether or not it's mutter for a person to eat basar with the chalav of a behemoth treifa. Now, why would you think the chalav of a behemoth treif is different than any chalav? So we mentioned this halacha yesterday. There's a halacha in basav chalav. It says in the Torah, "Savashik di b'chalev imoy tafka a behemoth that's really same." If a behemoth is not really same, at that point there's no isa basav chalav medei raisa. Chazal say a treif is enoy moilet. So if that's the case, comes out a treif is not really roi liyosein. If a treif is not roi liyosein, so based on that, maybe there should be no issa bas of a chalav to eat basa together with the chalav of a treif. So Krip Kivega, I'm not sure. You know why I'm not sure? Because in as much as it's true that a treif is any roi liyosein, treif ain't a moilet, but no one said a treif can't become pregnant. Maybe it could become pregnant. Maybe it's in a moilet, it can't follow through with the pregnancy. But maybe to become pregnant, it could. And Zokrab Kiveg have a raya from a Rashi in Sanhedrin that as soon as somebody has a child, even in utero, at that point, the mama is a mama and the tata is a tata. This is a whole schmooze. But the mama is a mama and the tata is a tata. If that's the case, the fact that Shreif is in a moilet is not a raya that it can't be called a name, because you don't have to be moilet to be called a name. As long as you have an Uber, that already would be enough. This Reb Kiveger's Lashitasa in the Tshuva. Reb Kiveger's naming on that you could be a ben or a bas in utero. Memela, the parent could be a father or a mother when the child is in utero, right? But if you're a mother when you have an Uber, then the Uber should be a bas. And if the Uber is a bas, you should be considered a mother. It's the flip side of the same coin. L'chayr, they should be tali zebazai. So l'chayr, these two Reb Kivegas are saying the same thing. That we view the bas Berechem imoy as a bas. Hence the mother as being a mother. This is mamish the time of the kutim. What's poshim shah? I mamish don't know. This is the time of the karam. Abulul the mistafina. Maybe it's poshim. Could be it's like really, really, really poshim. And that is, it's true, Rav Meshulam Goyen in the Sefer Eshkol and Rav Yontif Lipman Milhoizen in the Sefer Anitzachim, the way they were Meshav the Minim was that it says, Oysav Esmenoye, Seshchat Be'emechet, this is not called a ben. Oh, but the Rambam had a different mahalach. Rambam didn't say that. The Rambam came with a whole lumdus. The Rambam said, because Ubi Yerechimoy, Ken Zain state in Rambam, that the Rambam klapi, that Shaila held like the Karam. That the Rambam taka held. The Rambam taka held that it is a ben. Because if the Rambam held it's not a ben, then Mutalish Chabem Muberes, as Oysav Esmenoye, the whole question dead on arrival, because Abadi, it's not a problem. It's not Oisei Ves Benoi. You don't have to get involved in the super duper lumdis of the Sameach and the Beskerov and the Michtav in terms of how Ben Pekua works. It's Pashat that it's going to be Mutter. It's going to be Mutter because it's not considered Bnei. I think from the fact that the Rambam didn't say that, from the fact that the Rambam got involved in his super duper lumdis, from the fact that the Rambam said what he said, that's the biggest Raya in the world, maybe, that the Rambam held that really it is considered a Ben, Afilu in utero. If it's considered a Ben, it's considered a bas. It could be this Reb Kivegan, the Tshuva, and Reb Kivegan is a goyis in Shulchan Aruch. It's all going in Shitas HaRambam. Avad in that vikuach, we're taking on the position of the Karan. But ironically, counterintuitively, lahavdil alav alfei avdolis, somehow the Shitas HaKaran in the world of the Rambam was the Shita. It's a Pella. But it was Taka the Shita. And based on that Shita, Frank Reb Kivegan, his Kasha and Zok Reb Kivegan, his Ha'ara that he says in a goyis in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Pei Zayin. But just to end with one last Ha'ara, and that is, I saw in the Sefer Mikra Eda from Rabbi Leo Greenside. It's in the same exact shtickel. So he quotes from a sefer called Ginzei Shechter. So Ginzei Shechter, again, we're going where we're really not supposed to go, is a collection of works that were gathered by Solomon Shechter. So Solomon Shechter was, right, Kiyodua, and, right, one of the founding fathers of the modern conservative movement. But Solomon Shechter, at one point, was on the faculty of Cambridge University. During that time, the Cairo Geniza was discovered. It was discovered by people that were on the Cambridge faculty, and they bought it for a song. It was definitely Oynah, what they paid for it, and they had it shipped over to London, and Solomon Shechter spent decades of his life going through the different things that were found in the Geniza, and it's known as Ginzei Shechter. That's what it's known as. Rabbi Leo Greenzeig, in that piece, Mikra Ha'eda, this great guy, and he quotes Ginzei Shechter, and he says, if you take a look in Chelek Beis, and he quotes the page, it's page 478. This is all the Shulchan Aruch of the Karam, all their interesting halachas, their strange customs that they had. One of the halachas that they had was that if your wife is pregnant, you have to be poyrish from your wife. It's aser for a man to be ba'al ishtai mu'beres. Zogt Rabbi Leo Greenzeig, it's poshet, it's the Karam l'shitasai. The Karam that held that it's aser to shechta behem mu'beres, because oisrei ves benoi loisishchatu b'yoymechen, and state alumnus, because it says by Yisroitz to Abana Mekirba. So based on that, it's going to be a problem. Well, if that's the case, it can't be Baal Ishtai Mubaris. You know why, Reb Kivegas Kasha? Because every time a person's being Baal Ishtai, he's also being Baal Bitoi, based on the Gemara Tvura Da Flatman that says, he Vlad and Irvu. So because of Reb Kivegas Kasha, they held it was going to be a problem. Fakert, Al Rishonim Anu Mitzdarin, that if you name on the sheet of Sakaram, that is Reb Kivegas Kasha. With all super duper alumnus. Again, the Karam didn't know the Arsamech and the Biskarov. They didn't know Reb Kivegas Cheshbeni. Either. It doesn't surprise me, but Al Kopadim, this whole idea that the Karam would hold, they have to be punished from Ishtai Me'uberes, this was Lishita Sayu, this is Rabbi Leo Greenzeig Zahara, it's the Lishita Sayu, the Karam, that the Karam held, that something's considered a ban or a bas, afilu in utero, and based on that, this would be an issue.